Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We come to the Word of God on this Friday, again in Genesis 3:17. The verse begins, "Then to Adam God said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it.'" And that is where we have broken off the reading on the previous day's broadcasts and podcasts so that we would consider these two insights. We observe the personal responsibility that God gives to Adam, and we observe that by listening to the voice of his wife, Adam was dismissing the voice of his God. We talked about these. Today I want to move us into the next part of verse 17, where we will learn about the specific detail of God's punishment for Adam. And that will carry over into verses 18 and 19 of Genesis 3. So next week, we will continue in these verses. But please do join us and invite friends of yours to do so as well. Verse 17 continues with God speaking and saying, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." We will talk about what this means in a little bit, but first I want to make some comments about the nature of punishment for sin. In the Bible, there are two aspects to God's punishment for sin. First, there is what we can call the natural consequences of sin. The natural consequences of sin. That is, I commit a sin, and then I must live with the consequences of what I have done. And let's consider just a few examples. A man is addicted to alcoholic beverages. He must drink every day, and the more he drinks, the more drink he wants. He has to have it. But over the course of time, this costs him his job, his family, his friendships, and eventually even his home. The sin here is intoxication and the neglect that comes from an obsession with alcohol. Ephesians 5, verse 18, names this as a sin. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Ephesians 5, 18. And the natural consequences of this sin have already been named: loss of job, family, friendships, and home. This man has to live with the painful realities of what his sin has done to him and to those around him. Or think of the lazy woman. She favors sleep and relaxation and a long day on a long couch. She does not get up in the morning and go out the door to work. At first she is calling in sick and then not turning up at all. Even on the day she does go in, she cannot wait to leave, and her work is careless and very poorly done. Eventually she is let go, fired. And she cannot find another job. What is the consequence? Poverty. Listen to Proverbs 10, verse 4. "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Proverbs 10, 4. These are just a couple of examples. You can think of more. But this is what I mean by the natural consequences of sin. The sinner does A, and has to live with the B, live with the consequences. God has made us so that when we obey him, there are positive consequences, but when we disobey him, there are negative consequences. And anyone with any sense of discernment can see this simply by observing people. We see this within ourselves, and we see this within others. Even people who are unwilling to acknowledge the existence of God know full well that what bad decisions do are produce bad consequences. That's why even atheists believe in criminals going to prison. About this aspect of divine punishment, theologian Louis Burkhoff writes, quote, "There is a punishment that is the necessary concomitant of sin. For in the nature of the case, sin causes separation between God and man, carries with it guilt and pollution, and fills the heart with fear and shame. That's true. The alcoholic has guilt, fear, and shame, and so does the one who has become poor due to laziness. And perhaps you are facing some natural consequence to whatever your sin is. Keep an eye on the guilt, the pollution, the fear, and the shame within you, and see if you can trace that back to your own sin. And then there is the second aspect to God's punishment for sin. This is what we will call the direct punitive justice of God for the sinner. That is, God has given his law, the law has been broken, and now the penalty for breaking God's law is issued. A great example of this is found in the book of Exodus, chapters 20 through 23. Exodus 20 through 23. Here we have the law of God that governs the civil, moral, and religious life of Israel. When you read those chapters that begin with the Ten Commandments, what you find is God states his law and then gives the direct punitive sentence for what will happen if the law is broken. For anyone who does not think God penalizes sin, read those chapters of Exodus. And for those who would say, that's the Old Testament, those were only for Israel, you should think again, because so much of what is there gets repeated in the New Testament as equally applicable for Gentiles, for non-Israel. For example, read what Jesus says about the commandments from Exodus 20. You could take up that reading this weekend, but let me share with you some other examples from the Bible of this direct punitive justice of God for the sinner. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, we read about Israel's king Saul. So Saul died for his trespass, which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord, which he did not keep. That was 1 Chronicles 10:31. God gave Saul a death sentence because Saul sinned when he did not keep the word of the Lord. This is the direct punitive justice of God in action. Up next, we have a very frightening verse for the wicked. For all of those who will bear the punishment of God personally because they have rejected Jesus Christ as the punishment bearer in their place. Here is Psalm 75, verse 8, Psalm chapter 75, verse 8. For a cup is in the hand of the Lord, and the wine foams. It is well mixed, and he pours out of this. Surely all the wicked of the earth must drain and drink down to its dregs. What a picture this gives us of the direct punitive justice of God for wickedness. Evil people must drink the wrath in the cup of the Lord, all of the wrath, every last drop. And listen to words of the sermon John the Baptist gives in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. This is John preaching in Matthew 3:10. The axe is already at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The person who does not bear any fruit for Jesus is thrown by God into the eternal and everlasting fire of hell. Again, this is the direct punitive justice of Holy God in action, and this is real. This is serious. And this is absolutely the horrific future reality for all who face the judgment of God separate and apart from Christ. Oh, please embrace Jesus today if you have not already done so. Regarding this second aspect of God's punishment for sin, listen to what Dr. Burkhoff had to say. Quote, punishment may be defined as that pain or loss which is directly or indirectly inflicted by the lawgiver in vindication of his justice, outraged by the violation of the law. It originates in the righteousness or punitive justice of God, by which he maintains himself as the Holy One, and necessarily demands holiness and righteousness in all his rational creatures. punishment is the penalty that is naturally and necessarily due from the sinner because of his sin. It is, in fact, a debt that is due to the essential justice of God. This is superimposed on man from without by the supreme lawgiver, such as all kinds of calamities in this life and the punishment of hell in the future. Having understood, there are two aspects to God's punishment for sin. There are the natural consequences of sin, and there are the direct punitive justices of God for the sinner. We should ask, which of these are given by God to Adam in verses 17 through 19 of Genesis 3? My answer is primarily the direct punitive justice of God for Adam. I grant you there is an element of natural consequence here, but by far the greater kind of punishment is direct and is punitive. And the punishment begins in the second half of verse 17 with this: "Cursed is the ground because of you, in toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." There is that emphasis we have already discussed, because of you. This punishment is for and about Adam. And then the ground is cursed, and there will be toil and eating of the ground all of the days of the man's life. And since this is Friday, how many of you would like to scream out, "Amen," because you have just finished another long week of toil, really hard work, so that you will have money to buy food, so that you can eat, meeting the needs of you and your family. Just in reading this text, we see the direct punitive justice of God. Gone is the easy living and eating of Adam. Now the ground is cursed, and old Adam is going to have to get down on his hands and knees and work the land real hard if he is going to eat. All of that toil will be an ever-present reminder of his sin and how badly he offended Holy God. And we shall talk more about this on Monday on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.